Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You got Matt Miller on all the time.
Matt Miller.
Here I come. You ready?
Lead NFL and NFL draft analyst at Bleacher Report.
The NFL, you need guys who have upside and potential, and you have to have something that kind of makes you special.
The Stick to Football Podcast.
We ain't got to talk about too much. We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it.
Going through college and NFL film.
You need to be just an MF-er out there where you're going to put this guy on the ground every play.
Matt Miller with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Matt Miller's on Twitter at NFL Draft Scout, Bleacher Report, the Stick to Football Podcast. He's on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Down to Mobile, Alabama we go. This is a man in his cups. This is one of his favorite places and favorite times of the year. What are the headlines right now, Matt?
Yeah, guys, good morning. I think the headlines right now, you know, are the quarterbacks. We come down here and you have Justin Herbert, you have Jordan Love, and everyone wants to see, what do these guys look like? You know, how are they performing in person? And for me, this is my first look at both of them in person. You know, I didn't make it out to Oregon. I didn't make it out to Utah State over the last 2 years. So having that opportunity to look at them and say, okay, like this is what you look like, you know, spinning the ball. This is what you look like on the move. So you get that, as Thomas Dimitroff told us the other day, you can sniff the pits a little bit on these guys. But still, like what they're doing here with those two players in particular doesn't answer some of the question marks that I have about them as players that you see on game film. So it's a good opportunity to see guys in person, but especially with those two, where we're trying to figure out who the third quarterback in this draft will be. Like you can get excited because you're seeing the guy and you're down here, but it's still not answering a lot of the big questions we have.
Reading around and talking to some people about those quarterbacks, I can't share. And if this is harsh, I apologize, but this is what it sounds like. It sounds like people think Justin Herbert's soft. Is that fair?
That's fair, and that's not harsh. That's what people have been saying about him for 2 years, maybe three. You know, since he became the starter there, it was like, yeah, that's the knock on this kid. And I've had some intense conversations with Mario Cristobal about it, and we disagree on Justin Herbert a little bit. But I think that is a knock. You're right, that he's seen as kind of quiet, aloof a little bit. And that might seem like a really weird thing to put knock a player for, like, okay, the guy's quiet, but you know, you want leadership and it doesn't have to be, you know, this rah, rah guy, but you want someone who can command a room that when he stands up to speak, it's going to demand respect and people are going to listen because you play quarterback doesn't mean you're a leader. You're expected to be one though. So you want someone who can do that. And I think with Herbert, he knows that is a knock. You know, his agents are intelligent people. They're going to know that's a concern because folks like myself have been saying it publicly for quite some time. So I think he's made a really good effort this week to show better leadership. He's never going to be Baker Mayfield. That's just not who he is. But if you can be, you know, Josh Allen, who is a quiet guy, but is still a leader. If Justin Herbert can show that he's that guy, he might end up being a top 10 pick, just like Josh Allen was.
Reports are that Jordan Love had a much better day two than day one, and he needed it.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Dan, you cut out there.
We're talking about Jordan Love and his second day being one that he needed after struggling out of the gate.
You know, and I know I saw those reports as well. I disagree. I thought Jordan Love had a really good first day because I think you have to manage your expectations. You know, like what do you expect from a guy who's never thrown to these receivers? It was really windy the first day as well. So I think Jordan, you're going to be impressed by his traits, right? He has a really good arm. He can move around and make throws off schedule, on the move. And unfortunately, he is in a practice that is being run by the Detroit Lions where it seems like all they want to do is stretch and not put guys in positions to really impress us with one-on-ones. That's what you want. You're then here evaluating. You know, the Cincinnati Bengals are practices are fun. They're upbeat. Guys are competing in one-on-one situations. And the Lions are doing it's a lot more slower. It's a lot more methodical. And so that can make it a little bit tough. With Justin Herbert, we're watching him throw, you know, 50-yard bombs, receivers competing with DBs. with Jordan Love, you know, we're watching a lot more of, like, you know, 5-on-5 and 7-on-7 where they're wanting him to check down or throw a screen game. So it is unfortunate they're not on the same roster, so we're not getting an apples-to-apples comparison of what they're doing. And I think with Jordan Love, and I've heard this from a lot of people this week, everyone's a little bit frustrated by the type of practices the Lions are running because it's hard to get an eval when you're watching a guy do a half-speed install of the offense.
Has anybody told you why they're running those practices?
No, I mean, this happens. You know, last year, the 49ers, like, it just seemed like Kyle Shanahan didn't really want to be here. And so the practices, you know, weren't, you know, super upbeat. And I don't think there's, like, a correlation to if you're a good NFL coach, how you run your Senior Bowl practice necessarily. But it is, you know, it is tough because you want those guys, and Matt Patricia's been doing this a long time. He knows you want to be able to get good looks at guys doing position-specific drills to where you can evaluate that. And I think that is, you know, even like today, practices are being moved indoors because of rain. So for a lot of people, it's like, all right, the week is over for a lot of people evaluating. And unfortunately, on the north side, there weren't a lot of reps where you really got that.
You know, that is a bigger issue, I think, than you make it seem. Because at the NBA Combine every year, that is a top-down operation where the NBA itself is hiring and instructing all of the coaching to standardize it to make sure the goal is to showcase exactly what scouts need to see and want to see. They essentially ask the scouts, how do we set this up to make sure all these guys running college stuff can run representative pro stuff? What you're saying is an argument to take this out of the hands of teams, to have this siloed as a league operation, just because otherwise you're defeating the purpose and you're allowing teams to game it for their best interest rather than the best interest of the players involved.
It's tough because the Senior Bowl is not owned and operated by the NFL, right? They work in partnership with the NFL. So, you know, the NFL selects the two teams with the worst record who don't have a new head coach. So that's why it's the Bengals and the Lions. But, I mean, you're right, Dan. It is frustrating. And the Lions have a general manager. They have scouts. You know, they know that what you want is a clean look at this. And I think it puts, you know, Jim Nagy, the executive director, puts him in a tough spot because, you know, he doesn't want to, you know, publicly say, yeah, the Lions aren't running the best practices for us to evaluate players. They might win the game Saturday. And of course they're getting, you know, all the time with these players behind closed doors. So it's not affecting their ability to evaluate, but it does make it a little bit harder. And I've talked to some teams about it and they say, well, you know, the Senior Bowl is kind of a small part of the puzzle anyway. And they're able to get the film from the practices and go home and cut it up and evaluate it. But, you know, and I'm not just complaining because I work in media and it makes my job harder. I think it does the players a little bit of a disservice when they're not being, you know, put in the same situation. So it would be great if there was a standardization of, you know, we want 20 minutes of wide receiver versus DB one-on-ones. Yep. We want 20 minutes of O-line, D-line one-on-ones or, you know, two-on-ones. So that would be amazing. That'd be awesome. But I think the Senior Bowl, they want to sell tickets. They want to, you know, build interest. They have to make money. And so they want that. We have the Lions. We have the Bengals. You know, last year they had the Niners and Raiders. Like you want that. You know, we have NFL coaches coming down here to run these teams. And you can look at what the Raiders and Niners both got key players in their draft classes from being down here running these practices. But you're right. It's one of those things, like with the NFL draft, there are a lot of little things that we would like to change. It's just, it's always been done this way, so it's hard to get that traction.
He is Matt Miller, Bleacher Report. You follow him on Twitter at NFL Draft Scout. Matt, it's our first time chatting since we've had a matchup for the Super Bowl. What are your first couple of thoughts on the Chiefs and Niners?
Yeah, this is it's difficult for me, guys. As you know, we've been talking a long time. I grew up a huge Niners fan, but living in Missouri, my six-year-old son's a huge Chiefs fan. So we're not talking, he and I. We're beefing a little bit the next 2 weeks. But I look at this, man. It's hard for me to imagine the 49ers being able to score enough to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. And I'm just like being honest, unbiased as an analyst here. It's tough for me to picture that. And the Chiefs have gotten better at stopping the run, you know, which is the Niners' bread and butter. These two teams haven't played a lot, but they know each other. You know, there's a lot of commonalities in what they want to do. And, you know, they both have, you know, excellent pass rushers. So I think it's going to be a great game. It's a really good matchup. The NFL has to be really, really happy about that. But when it comes down to it, for me, it's the difference that Patrick Mahomes brings to the table. You know, what he can do, we've seen it in the playoffs, what he's been able to do as a runner, what he's able to do. You know, they get down against the Texans. They get down against the Titans. And when you have him running your offense, you really feel like you're never out of a game. And that's proven to be true in the playoffs. It just seems like he's he's getting better each week. He's getting more comfortable each week. And you look at, you know, the Niners, like Richard Sherman, great player. He's not running with Tyreek Hill, you know, and you know where Sherm's going to be, you know, because as people like Darrell Revis have pointed out, he doesn't travel. He's going to be on one side of the field. And so I think with Kansas City, you can get some pretty favorable matchups by putting your speed receiver over there and forcing, you know, safety help over the top. So I think the Chiefs are in a good spot to win this game. I do think it'll be close, but I know I will have to pick it. And right now I'm pretty set on picking Kansas City to win.
In theory, how many points would the Chiefs have to be down at halftime for you to write them out?
30?
Yeah, I mean, no, really, I get it.
A lot. They were down 24 to Houston. And it is, you know, a little different because San Francisco is built to do that, you know, to pin their ears back and let Nick Bosa go get you, and D Ford will get his snaps in, you know, if you get a lead. So I think that, you know, the Niners are really built well to do that, to get a lead and then, you know, make you throw the ball. But so is Kansas City, you know. So I think with that, with Mahomes, it's just so different because they have so much speed and he has such good vision and such a good arm that they can just score so fast. And even now with Mecole Hardman as a return man, they're able to get chunk plays on special teams. So they are crazy, man, how explosive that offense is.
Yeah, that's sort of how I phrase it. I don't pick games. I don't pride myself in any ability to gamble or predict. But when it comes to something like this, I'm not going to be the guy that bet against Patrick Mahomes at this time in this game. Not on the trajectory he's going, where he is apparently becoming something here. And it would just be so dumb to bet against him, to say, hey, you know, well, I never saw that. Oh my God, Patrick Mahomes was this good? You know, there are rare times in professional sports when you see somebody doing the things he's doing, and I'm going to be on the side that he's going to keep doing it.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, I've been doing this a decade, and I can remember saying the same thing. Like, I'm not going to be the guy that picks against or bets against Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, you know? And so now it's like, you feel that with Mahomes. Like, I'm not going to be that guy because, you know, we've seen what he's done, you know, since coming back from the knee injury has just been absolutely amazing. And it's, you know, it's great because, you know, I imagine, and I'm probably going to upset some people, but I imagine this is what it was like for y'all when Jordan started to hit his stride of like, how much do you have to be down, you know, to think that Jordan can't come back and win this game? And it's just, it's really special. It's cool to see it at the beginning, you know, and to be able to appreciate the rise a little bit and watch a player go from really talented to now damn near unstoppable.
Why is there any question at all in some camps as to whether or not Eli Manning is a Hall of Famer? Because to me, the numbers speak for themselves, the accomplishments speak for themselves, the comps speak for themselves. This is an easy one for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at what – it's almost will versus should. Should he be a Hall of Famer might be a little bit more of a conversation, but he will be. I mean, he will get in.
See, should wins. Is not for me. When you start looking – should, yeah. I mean, I think this is not even close.
You think he should be?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I mean, because of the – I don't know. Let me back that up. I don't know if I'm okay with that. I think that we give Eli too much credit for the two Super Bowls because that's – I even said it. Well, he won two Super Bowls. The Giants won two Super Bowls. And so, you know, he's more like the guy, you know, driving the car. And I am a little biased because when he started to fall off, it was pretty bad, you know, and he was kind of still out there. And I know when you look at the yards, you know, at 57,000 yards – over 350 touchdowns. Those are a lot of the watermarks, but I think that he is going to be more of a Jerome Bettis who, yeah, he's going to get in because he's popular and he's got a good name instead of Eli Manning was never one of the three or four best quarterbacks in the NFL from 2004 to 2019. I don't think he was ever one of the three, four, five best quarterbacks in the league. So it's tough with that because is that what the Hall of Fame is? Or is it, you know, what it is honestly is where it's like, these were players who, either through longevity or moments, you know, became stories. And with Eli, those two Super Bowls, especially beating the undefeated Patriots, that might have been good enough right there. He might have been able to retire after that game and have been a Hall of Famer.
Matt, appreciate you as always. Great talking to you. Enjoy the rest of the Senior Bowl, man.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. Talk to you soon.
That's Matt Miller, brought to you by Subway. Subway restaurants feature a different 6-inch sub for $3.79 every day. Subway, make it what you want. At participating restaurants, additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied. Apparently, there was some overnight gold.
That's what we're told. Fried gold from the overnight show with Les Grobstein.
That's all I know. I haven't heard it.
Neither have I. We will enjoy it and experience it together. It's Bernstein McKnight on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
One small step for man, one small step for mankind, one giant step for mankind.
You can make fun of that all you want. Neil Armstrong himself screwed it up.
I botched it. But then again, Neil was on the moon and less.
Less is on Pluto.
Kind of doing a show.
But the truth is that Neil Armstrong, that makes no sense at all. One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. It means the same thing. What he meant to say was, that's one small step for a man.
Yeah.
One giant leap for mankind. But he was a little, little distracted. A little distracted in the moment, you know. Stepping on the moon.
Being the whole first guy on the moon.
Right.
You could see how that might jump with a guy's meter, you know?
Yeah, right. Maybe the heart rate was a little up, maybe at that point.
I know they had done some training for the exercise. I understand that they had prepared for it. But once you get there, I feel like, yeah, right. You get a little bit of a pass.
Or you could say, you know what? Don't choke. Like, that. You got one G. You're the first damn guy on the moon. If you already got that far. You're already, you got everything right.
Well, what's he supposed to say? Climb down the ladder of the eagle, look at the, oh, that's messed up. We shouldn't have done this.
Or he's just like, holy crap, I'm standing on the moon, right? All right, so what's the setup for this? What do we need to know, Rick?
I was alerted by an anonymous source that Les had an interesting interaction with a caller, and I edited the 7-minute call down to a more palatable level here, like just minute 20 or so for our purposes, and pretty much just enjoy it.
Let's go immediately out to South Holland, and first of all, we're going to talk about Tone. Tone, how you doing today?
Hey, Les, man, it's been a while, my brother.
It has been, but the good news is we can't say that anymore because you're with us right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Shout out. Hey, man, there's a lot been going on, man. I ain't called in a year, but I called it particularly. I usually am making music, but my computer took a dump real quick. Probably need a break.
My computer usually takes the third finger on the right hand and sticks it toward me. In other words, my computer likes to flip me the bird all the time. You know what I'm talking about.
I also want to do this before I get off the phone. Friend of mine, Eric Dusick, just had a birthday. He'd be checking in, listening with you too.
So I want to shout him out as well. Tell him to get back into the music while he's building all those websites and stuff. Eric Dusick, my dog. My dog. Happy B-Day. Les, thanks for the conversation.
And as we all know, dogs are family members. Well, they are.
The youth say slime nowadays, so we'll reserve that for another conversation.
Hey, listen, you have a good one, and Tone, good to hear from you, buddy.
What?
What happened?
What was that?
What just happened?
I love overnight radio. Local overnight radio, man.
It's the best.
It's a window.
Eric Dusick, my dog. My dog. Happy B-Day. Les, thanks for the conversation.
And as we all know, dogs are family members.
No, they aren't. Unless you're
That's
Shane.
Amazing.
Unless they, I guess they are for Shane.
It's amazing. And you know what? This show would also like to reach out and wish Eric Dusick a happy birthday.
Sure.
Because why? And get back into the music, man.
Yeah.
Make those websites.
Are you not hearing what happened, Dan? The caller named his friend.
Yeah.
And wished him a happy birthday and said, "That's my dog."
My dog. And he said, "Dogs are family members."
And Les thought he was talking about an animal.
Dog. No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't. No. I didn't hear that. I didn't hear him act.
Play it again.
He actually thinks the guy has a dog named with a first and last name.
He's Eric half Dusick, listening.
My dog. My dog. Happy B-Day. Les, thanks for the conversation.
And as we all know, dogs are family members.
Wait.
So you think that Les thinks
I
that
they... I know he thinks
for
this.
For a fact, yes.
That he started
that
to wish his dog...
literally the point of pulling the clip, Dan. I understand you've been letting all the air out of balloons so far.
I'm with Dan on this. No, listen. If you're going to paint with the broadest brush, I thought this guy was actually saying... Eric Dusick, my dog, happy birthday.
As in my guy.
And that Les understood all of that, then just applied the general term of dog to family member.
But when is that term ever used? It's used in terms of the animal.
Right, but there's a difference between Les making this like a non sequitur, kind of relationship between dog and family member and then not listening. I don't think
Les was Tone also thought this, because why was he laughing right after Les said that?
Hold on a second.
Because explaining the term is kind of funny.
I think Les understands that when the guy says my dog, he means my man, my guy,
my friend. I agree.
I think he normally does, but when he's half paying attention to a caller, I think not necessarily.
But it also can be that when he hears the word, he just will say dog as a family member just because, apropos of nothing. I don't think it's connected.
Play it again.
I love the idea that a dog would have a first and last name.
Eric Dusick, my dog. My dog. Happy B-Day. Les, thanks for the conversation.
And as we all know, dogs are family members.
Like, that just fires a neuron in the Les brain when he hears dog. That's just what he says.
Respond this way.
Right.
You're giving him the benefit of the doubt.
The text line is not. They are staunchly against the way Dan and I are hearing this and are very much on the side of Rick
and
Jay.
I am floored that you guys think that way on this. It never even entered my mind that could have been the case.
But it's one thing if he says just one name. My dog is named Eric. Or my dog is named
Deuce
Rex.
The joke.
But if someone's like, this is my dog, Leon Schneiderman. Right? Right? I mean, it doesn't... That doesn't make... It doesn't make sense. It's your dog. Was it Fido? No, it's Abe Moskowitz.
It's a very close family friend. We named the dog after him.
Dan, I'm going to get my computer to take its third finger and point it at you.
And extend it in a very angry way toward me. I like this guy. I like the Tone had his computer take a dump on him. I think that's something you got to watch out for. That's why you got to defrag the hard drive.
My computer usually takes the third finger on the right hand and sticks it toward me. In other words... my computer likes to flip me the bird all the time.
The third finger's the ring finger.
No, the third from the pinky, right? If you do that, 1, 2, 3.
Third from the outside.
Third from the outside.
But, okay.
Yeah, third from the inside gets you the ring finger.
Maybe Les's computer flips him the ring finger.
Les's computer's very nice.
I don't know.
A kid who just learned what it was, got told he can't do it, and now has figured out that you can do the ring finger and get everybody to dodge for it.
I can name one dog that has a first and last name. You should know this, too, because he's the owner of the dog has spoken to you about it.
The owner of the dog.
Oh, is it Pat Manley? Does Pat Manley
dog have a first?
No,
but Right Sport.
Al Capone?
No.
Because Tony Parrish had a dog named Capone.
Nope.
Did Lance,
the guy that was on this, that was on Boards and Bernstein Weekly,
had a dog with a first and last name?
Who would be the kind of guy that you had as a weekly guest by personality?
Oh, you had Martellus Bennett on the show a lot, and Martellus Bennett,
Sebastian Janikowski,
right? Seabass. Named his dog first and last name.
Because if any human being currently inhabiting this planet would be likely to do something like that, it would be Martellus. His dog is Sebastian Janikowski.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
That's a great pull. That is a huge pull. Okay. All right. So I guess we'll have to take the L on this one.
Suppose. One thing I refuse to take the L on is something that McNeil and Parkins were bagging on me for yesterday.
What?
I listened to the segment. I heard it. Somebody tipped me off that they were having fun with me, and that's fine. I don't mind that they're having fun with me. I don't care about it. You yesterday in transition.
It sounds like you care about it.
I don't care that they had fun with me. I care that they're so blatantly wrong. I'm right. And they're wrong.
Why do you care so much?
And here's why it matters.
This is Connor not caring.
Yesterday,
ladies and gentlemen, Connor McKnight not caring.
It doesn't bother me that they think I'm being dumb. It bothers me that they're so painfully wrong about this. Yesterday in transition, with Molly and Hawk. Yeah, I'm going to buy them a pair of success plates. Yesterday in transition, I brought up the fact that people my age have somebody or have at least talked about the idea of deleting your internet history upon death, right? That there would be things.
But you're dead.
Right. Here's the thing.
You don't care about anything.
That's such a terrible, terrible argument when it comes to legacy. People for thousands of years have cared about their legacy after the dead. You think the pyramids was a guy like, oh, I don't care if you delete my internet history. I don't care at all. Oh, but by the way, build this giant thing of stone for me so that everyone remembers me when I'm dead.
No, that's an afterlife. That wasn't to remember them. That's
okay,
because they were
sure.
They were taking the
sure.
What do you think they were doing? What do you think the whole mummification process is and the whole thing?
What do you think they were going
somewhere.
What do you think the big faces and monuments of the king's likeness outside the pyramid are for?
That's a bad example. But the pyramid thing is a bad example because you know the history of that the Egyptians were moving on to the next thing.
Mankind has always been obsessed with his legacy after he passes. The internet is how we write our legacies now, and the internet history is part of that. Even more so, if you're going to make the argument that the only thing I'm referring to is porn when it's deleting your internet history.
Is that what they were doing? I confess, I didn't hear what their criticism actually was.
They were really worried about the category searches that I'm interested in when it comes to my online
viewing
habits.
Like the subcategories of, like, it's, you know, dwarf, like, foot fetish.
Whatever it happens to be, right? AstroTurf or something like that. Whatever you're into.
Not supposed to go there.
And that doesn't matter. But even if it is just what you think anybody wants to go find that, people have to comb through your internet stuff after you die now. That's just part of it. They got to go cancel your subscriptions. They got to go make sure that your estate's not being taxed for whatever $9.99 service that you had, whether it's to watch The Crown or watch some freaky weird porn. It matters now. And it's just.
What else other than porn though?
In 2018, there was a case in Michigan where a guy had written a note on his phone, just like, oh, if ever I should die, I want this to go, whatever, blah, blah, blah. That man ended up later killing himself, like a week and a half later, and the court ruled that this note that he just wrote on his phone was enforceable as a last will and testament.
Okay.
This kind of stuff matters in the internet age,
Wait a sec. Is it because he lacked a last will and testament?
Is this
a codicil, some Dickensian codicil?
No, I mean, this is the last written thing is enforceable as a will and testament. This could have outdated or post-dated the last will and testament, and this is an updated version of it. That stuff, you're going to look at me like this doesn't matter, and you're going to tell me that, like, putting away money for your kids or an actual will and testament matters, but the way that you're going to care for your digital footprint doesn't in a day and age where everything about you is online and digital? Of course it matters. It absolutely matters.
Sidebar, a texter has another dog that has a first and last name. It's Parkins's dog, Omar Little, because it's named after the character from The Wire.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a dog named Omar and a son named Owen.
Yes, he has a dog named after a TV character and a son named after a tight end.
Yep. It's going to be interesting. So the poor dog now, when they're saying Owen, might fixate on the O sound and think they're saying Omar if the dog knows its name.
That's a problem you can overcome.
And about the planning on that
one? That's fine. I wouldn't worry about it. They'll be fine.
Yeah, they'll be
fine. They'll always be fine.
And now the 708 says Leon Schneiderman is the best dog name ever. I'm getting a dog today just to name him that.
Esquire. You got to throw Esquire in for the title, too, for that dog. What?
You.
What?
Did the things you obsess over.
Yeah, it's not even that I obsess
but you don't,
over.
But you don't care.
No.
What I obsess about.
Yeah. Here's me. It's not that I obsess about this in my daily life. I'm upset that I know I'm right and that other people are wrong and I can't stand it. It bugs me to no end. That's my own personality flaw. I'll get over that. I'll see the therapist this afternoon. But my God, man, the fact that you don't think it matters and the fact that I'm being ridiculed for something that digital experts and security people would tell you that, yeah, this absolutely matters and you got to watch out for this. It's beyond the pale.
Well, can't you manage it yourself, or isn't there software that could just
not if you're dead
constantly be erasing things, or you could automatically set up all your devices to
Google
do that?
Google now offers
or hook it up to your Fitbit, so if your heart hasn't been beating for X amount of time, it just dumps everything.
Google now offers you you can sign up on death. I want all of this stuff to be deleted, and I want these pictures to go to this person. You can set up a digital actionable thing with Google, but why are you going to trust them?
Or you do it like iRobot, where you have James Cameron's hologram that appears and leads you to different things.
It's like a search.
Right.
Like some sort of weird holographic.
You know
yeah,
what?
That'd be weird.
I have an actual will and testament. I'm really not all that worried. But I mean, what are they going to find? I mean.
But it's not
money.
Everyone.
Well, there's, you know.
Everyone is worried about what they're going to find. You want, How do you want things to go when you're dead? You really don't care? Or do you want this one little thing that you'd rather not have everyone found out about be the only point of conversation after you're gone?
I'm really trying to think of what that would be.
It doesn't matter whether you have what other people do. So many people do have the weird little thing or some strange family or all this kind of stuff.
See, I understand if you are actually leading a double life or you've committed horrible fraud or you've got a family of slaves in your basement. There are things that I get. But when you say this is just the average person and this is a best practice.
Everybody's got a little tick. Everybody's got a thing that they'd rather not have people talking about after they're gone. And you don't get to control what the conversation is after you die.
When we come back, we're going to give away $1,000, and we're going to do the midday midway. I've got an update on the frozen iguanas that are falling from the sky in Florida.
Oh, thank God.
And it's exactly the right kind of update. I also have, believe it or not, the federal government is doing something good.
I may have actual irony. The midday midway is next. Bernson McKnight on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
The first half or the second half, they're two equal times.
Now, midway.
The midday midway.
One, two.
Midway, the most important of the year.
Three, four.
The most exciting thing on the midway.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Our objective is midway.
9, 10.
You guys gotta meet me halfway out there.
So real, you can almost feel
the midday midway with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
It's time for your chance to win $1,000 in cash on The Score. This hour's keyword is kid. Text kid to 72881 by the end of the hour. The keyword kid is 72881. A randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Don't text and drive. Message and data rates may apply. Talk basketball. We played some Jim Boylan sound. How Luke Cornett is Robert Horry, and Stacey King found that absolutely hysterically funny to the point where he couldn't control himself.
As he should.
He almost did like a Danny Thomas. Uncle Tanoose is coming to dinner. Total perfect timing for that. We also discussed the Jim Boylanism success plate.
Yes.
Because he can't measure success with wins. He says winning the first quarter to him is now the success plate.
Freely concedes that he cannot measure success by wins. Not in this season.
A football conversation with Matt Miller, and then things just completely veered off the rails.
Yeah, we do that. You know that about this time of year, we get the new branding for a lot of minor league baseball teams.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite news sites, favorite little, offbeat news cycles. This comes from one of our very own, the Kannapolis A-Ball
the
franchise.
The Intimidators.
Yes.
That was the formerly, Dale Earnhardt team.
Formerly the Intimidators. They're in the White Sox system. They are newly branded, a brand new name, a brand new mascot. And I got it. It's awesome. They are the Kannapolis Cannonballers.
Cannonball.
They are, the logo is a little guy with a baseball for a head that looks like he's been shot out of a cannon. He's got
the baseball's his helmet.
No, he has a baseball face.
Okay, I thought it was supposed to look like the guy, the old circus performer with the tight helmet.
He also has a helmet, but the baseball is his head, kind of like Mr. Met. He's got seams for a chin kind of thing. But he's got the Dale Earnhardt mustache.
That's awesome.
Because they were named the Intimidators because that's where Earnhardt was from or won his first race or whatever. It doesn't matter. Anyway, the Cannonballers logo is awesome, and I'm going to need a hat, and y'all should probably get one, too.
It's two words, too. It's Cannonballers.
Yes.
Those, so they get the baller aspect in there.
Cannons who ball kind of thing. Yeah, it's awesome.
It shouldn't be news that the federal government is doing something good, but alas, these are the times we live in. Airlines no longer would be required to accommodate emotional support animals under new federal rules proposed yesterday to rein in passengers who try to bring their pets on board. The U.S. Department of Transportation says it wants to ensure that individuals with disabilities can continue using their service animals, while also reducing the likelihood that passengers wishing to travel with their pets on aircraft will be able to falsely claim their pets are service animals. Huh. And we've done any number of these stories. There was the peacock.
Yep.
There was the squirrel. There was the miniature horse. The emotional support duck.
Was there a pig at some point, too?
I believe there was a Vietnamese pot-bellied pig in there. So this now they're trying to end all this BS. If it is a certified service animal, a guide dog, etc., those will be allowed. But thank you, thank you, thank you. You put those things in the cargo hold.
It's the Lord's work.
Or leave them at home. It's about damn time.
I may have irony here in the midday midway. You know, we love it. Man dies after getting attacked by his rooster on their way to a cockfight. An Indian man has died after a tussle with his rooster on their way to the cockfight. I cannot pronounce this man's name, so we're just going to call him Rao. That is his last name. There are too many letters for me to try it. He was hit in the neck with a blade tied to the rooster's claw.
Wait, he had the blade, the spurs on the fighting bird in the car?
That's right.
You're not supposed to put those on until right before the fight.
Be prepared. Rao was a regular at local cockfights. He was on his way to enter the rooster in a competition when it tried to break free. Cockfighting has been illegal in India since 1960. However, animal fighting continues. Yeah. What?
Exactly. Huge.
Continues to be a problem in the country. The offense has been made very clear and explained to the district and state authorities, but they choose to turn a blind eye toward it. The local cockfight goes on. There were no arrests, but Rao had tied the fighting blade to his rooster, got the rooster in the car.
So he did that, then put the rooster in the car.
In the cage, in the car, the rooster broke free, stabbed the man in the neck, and he died.
Can you say fight on the radio?
I think that's irony on the radio, isn't it?
I don't.
He was killed by the very thing he was trying to get killed. It's close. It's close.
Yeah, I'm gonna go thumbs down on irony. I'm gonna go thumbs up on stupid.
Okay, well, very stupid. Yeah, monumentally stupid.
Yesterday we told you about what was said to be possible in Florida as temperatures dipped into the 40s, that the invasive iguanas that live in the trees would be going dormant. As the cold-blooded animals that they are, they would then not have the ability to hold on to their perch in the tree, and they would fall to the ground. And people were being warned, actually, by the official weather services in Florida of the possibility of falling iguanas.
Mm-hmm.
And what did I say?
You said they're dying to get killed, iguanas.
I said.
And then you said you should eat them.
I said pick them up and eat them because iguana meat is said to be absolutely delicious.
Have you had it?
And lean. I've not. I have had turtle. I've had alligator. So I do know of reptiles, but it is said. Andrew Zimmern had a whole episode of they were shooting them out of the trees and preparing them, and he said it was delicious.
You're shooting iguanas out of the tree?
You're allowed to.
That doesn't just splatter them all over the place?
No, they're using a pellet gun.
Oh, that makes more sense.
Just enough to like knock it down.
They're called chicken of the trees.
Well, this is from Miami.com, I believe, which is the Miami Herald. Iguana meat started showing up on Facebook Marketplace overnight as the temperature dipped into the 40s. And indeed, Kevin Zipak was just showing, he's got a friend who lives in South Florida who was walking down the street and just filming all of the dormant, they look dead, but they're not dead, is all the dormant iguanas just lying there. Apparently people were picking them up and slaughtering them and field dressing them and just showing the prepared iguana carcasses that were ready to be purchased on Facebook Marketplace. And they're urging to get them from a reputable processor because much like it should be treated like chicken.
Yeah,
because they can carry salmonella as well.
Yeah, you don't want the iguana somebody just pull out of their pool or something.
They should be absolutely cooked through.
Yeah.
But they suggest tacos or burritos for people who aren't familiar with the iguana meat. Season it up nice and solid there. But go for it, man. That's free cheese.
Well, it's chicken, right? It's just like chicken.
If it tastes like alligator, or I've had rattlesnake too. So count that among the reptiles. I'm sure it's just, I've had rattlesnake.
It's chicken.
It's chicken.
I've had alligator, and I've had a lot of turtle.
Okay. So, I try it.
You taste like what you eat.
So try iguana.
So depending, I mean, iguanas are they're herbivores, right?
I think the insects and stuff, right?
Okay. Well, that would be a perfect for tacos.
Chicken!
All right, I'm just going to read this best I can. How familiar are you with TikTok?
I know it's the little short video service.
Sort of and also Vine. Chinese spyware that the U.S. government has been like, hey, don't use this, but nobody gives a damn.
Like the aging stuff?
Exactly like that. This, I'm just going to read this as best I can. A girl named Reagan, who saw a 2013 headline from the Daily Mail that reported testicles have taste buds, has started a TikTok sensation, I guess, through a study cited that apparently there are taste bud receptors in that area. A published report in the Journal of General Physiology in 2017 confirmed the presence of these testicular taste buds in humans. It's a bit of a long read, so you skip a bit, brother, and you find out that, yeah, apparently that works. Now, the run on TikTok is
what?
Is a whole bunch of guys dipping themselves into soy sauce
to get that umami flavor.
I guess.
Same?
I guess this is the run. This is what we're doing with the internet. This is the kind of stuff that you might want to have deleted for you after you've passed.
Wait, as I understand it,
mm-hmm.
these taste bud receptors are in the testicles, not in the scrotum.
Well, yeah, so they're dipping the old...
They're
the
missing
old change purse right down into the soy sauce.
That's like holding a chunk of steak up to your cheek and saying, mmm.
And apparently...
and what of it?
Apparently this works. Most of the guys who were doing this are screaming, oh my God, I can taste the sauce.
All right, we're doing leftovers. Connor, flop them out.
Do the hot sauce challenge, but instead...
Do they still have that tomato sauce in the fridge over at our show kitchen?
Yeah.
Because that's that big, perfect plastic tub.
Just drop down.
Yep.
Drop trow and get the taste on. Yeah, apparently this is a thing, and this is what the kids are doing on TikTok, which is another reason that
you
should not be on TikTok.
Better than eating detergent. That's a low bar to clear.
It's the lowest of bars to clear. Yeah. Yeah, but apparently that's where we're at.
I kind of disagree.
That it's not better than eating detergent?
Yeah, because I mean, at least when they're eating detergent, it's just kind of like Darwinism right there. Just, okay, you're done.
Well, maybe you dip yourself in the wrong thing, they fall off you. I don't know. But that's, who would want to be...
Hydrochloric acid. I wonder what that tastes like.
Who was telling us about the penny challenge with like the...
Oh, I was reading that too. Apparently there's another, I don't know if this is on TikTok or on something else, but apparently there's the new... Like a laundry pod challenge, the idea is that you take a cell phone charger, like a plugged in and active cell phone charger.
Right.
You push it about, you know, just a
little
bit.
We're not recommending this, by the way.
No, do not do this. This is a horrible idea. But you push it just a little bit into an outlet.
Okay.
And then the challenge is to drop a penny so that it sits, it falls into the space between the two.
So you burn your house down?
Yeah, it's fire departments everywhere. Like, don't do this. This is a horrible challenge. No one should do this because it sets sparks and fire, and it's a house fire waiting to happen. But apparently, this is also a challenge, probably on places like TikTok.
It's not a challenge.
It's a horrible idea.
That's what we should take the word challenge and replace it with horrible idea in all of these things.
Almost.
The Tide Pod horrible idea.
Yeah, the last
who
good challenge.
TikTok? Shane.
TikTok, the Chinese spyware, the thing the U.S. government is like, hey, don't do this because it's they're spying on you. All right.
He loves Chinese spyware?
Okay. Apparently. Who doesn't, right? A good steak and Chinese spyware, that's a night.
Anthony Heron is going to talk football with us next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.